Joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest, fresh from his honeymoon, I believe. Congratulations on the new nuptials, by the way. State Senator Tom Watley of Auburn joins us on the line. Senator, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How about you, Jeff?
Doing well. Before we get into it, Auburn playing in the Citrus Bowl, Northwestern, how you feeling?
Well, as always, you know, Auburn 65, Northwestern nothing, probably. I figure we'll have the ball 10 times, 12 times, something like that, and score every time we touch it.
Well, it'll be a shootout, it seems.
You know, I'm always picking Auburn number one.
And I wouldn't expect anything less. Let's get right into it. First off, you know, whenever we have your colleagues on in both chambers, they always reference the bill you put forth at the very end of this last legislative session that would have rolled back some of the executive power under the Emergency Management Act of 1955. Obviously didn't get any hearing because, well, there were priorities and the House wanted to just get the budgets done. But do you think you're going to take another look at this year?
Absolutely. And we're going to file it exactly like we had it last year, as far as I know. And like I said for the beginning, this isn't directed at any one person at all. This is just putting in place a form for the governor and for the legislature to continue to be a process of the budgetary needs for the state of Alabama in the future. And that's what the Constitution calls for, and it gives the people a check on the governor and a check on the legislature.
I mean, I guess people at the time were really frustrated with the shutdowns, I don't know if it's politically possible we could ever do that again in the near future, but it does have people kind of questioning that, wow, the governor and the state health officer is not even elected can do such a thing in Alabama.
Well, see, the state health officer is not an elected position, and the state health officer is appointed by a committee, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, I think there'll be some other legislation that might change that, but the governor had no say over what the state health officer could do for the first, 90 days or something like that, so... she couldn't even, whether it be a he or she in the office, neither the governor could not do anything if the state health officer declared an emergency. And that's that. So this gives the governor a check and the legislature a check and the people of Alabama a check over some unfettered power.
Well, and I guess it extends, Senator Orr's got something he's got, the idea that you could mandate these vaccinations. And that seems to have a lot of people a little concerned that state officer could say everybody has to have the COVID-19 vaccine when there's, I guess, where we're sitting here today, there's a lot of unanswered questions about it.
I think Senator Orr's already filed that bill, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, or he was about to file it. I'm not sure, but is that, I mean, I guess what you want to do would work in concert with rolling back some of that authority.
Anything that returns power to the people of Alabama to govern their own lives in the way that they see fit within the framework of, you know, common English law that we've followed for a long time, that gives them the power to over their everyday actions is the way we want to go, where I would like to go.
I mean, do you find that lacking? It does seem to be, I mean, your body's not a particularly ideological body, but that there is an impulse, or there is not that impulse to kind of go toward individual liberties and, you know, personal choices and things of that nature.
You know, the pandemic is a very extraordinary event. And when extraordinary events happen, it is not uncommon for there to be extraordinary measures to deal with those. And I appreciate the work the governor has did to do her best to keep the legislature informed of what is going on and the decisions that she's making. However, I do feel like that the legislature, and I know the legislature has a role to play, and I certainly want the legislature to play that role in our constitutional system that we have that we operate on in the state of Alabama, and protecting individual liberties and protecting individual rights and the rights of Alabama citizens to make their own choices of their actions and their day-to-day actions is certainly something I want to make sure that we protect. And we are very vigilant about weighing their own private decisions that people can make and governing their own lives with public concerns. But you, when you have individual liberties, you're going to have some issues that pop up then where people do not want to be vaccinated. And I don't think that's something that you can mandate to the public.
Senator, let's bring it home to your neck of the woods. Lee County was a hot spot there very early on for COVID. How are things on that end? Are you optimistic about the vaccine?
Well, first of all, on the hot spot, I don't know how folks determine what is a hot spot and what is not a hot spot. Personally, I feel like you've had everything that has gone on across the state of Alabama on the hot spot and across the nation. It seems to me that it's about average on what everything has gone on. This is a situation and a virus is extremely contagious, and there are things you can do to try to protect yourself from it. But, you know, by and large, a good many percentage of the population, I think over 4% have gotten the virus so far. But now bringing it back to the vaccination, I'm very pleased that we have a president in President Trump who has put forth in less than a year a vaccination that will go a lot to solving the COVID-19 problem. And that is very extraordinary that that come out that quick. And through his work on the task force and Warp Speed, who was headed by four-star General Perna, who was previously stationed at Huntsville in the Redstone Army Arsenal. So you have the good President Trump and an Alabama guy in General Perna who put together the vaccination and the logistical distribution system. So I do feel like we have had a great spot in Alabama to have a positive impact on the COVID vaccines nationwide. And there's no doubt in that. And I do believe that if you want to have the vaccination by the end of April, you're probably going to have had an opportunity to get it.
Senator, you dealt with the virus. Did that change your outlook on any of this, I guess from a policy standpoint?
Absolutely not. I mean, I believe that, you know, we need to have precautions and people should take precautions every day with their health. But I don't believe that we should have shut, I do not believe we should have shut down small business in Alabama to do this.
Well, tell me on that front, obviously football season impacted, and I know a big part of the economy there is geared around Auburn athletics and Auburn football. What are you hearing from your small business owners? Are they going to, have you had many casualties, or what has that been like?
Well, obviously there have been casualties that have come out of that. And we've seen that happen, not just in Lee County, but across the state of Alabama and across the nation. I'm very pleased that the governor put together, out of the COVID money that was available to her, plans to do Revive Alabama and to have money available to small business to help them deal with the COVID losses that they incurred. And also, I'm proud of her in the way that she has made her administration available to helping the small businesses apply for the PPP money and the SBA loans that were available through President Trump's administration. Now, I believe that CARES Act money should have been a legislatively appropriated money, and I think if we'd have done that, we might have been able to put it in some places where it was not, I didn't have the parameters set to it that it does now. But that's behind us, and those are decisions that were made back in April and May. But I do believe going forward, you will see the legislature playing their constitutional role in the budgetary process.
Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on that. Well, let's move forward to February. How you How are you feeling? Like I said, you've dealt with the virus. How do you feel about it, being able to conduct a regular order here in a couple of months?
Well, the chief concern of the legislature is to making sure that we can operate in a safe manner all the time. And then the people need to be able to have access to their senators and House members. And we put things in place to where the public, I certainly hope the public has a role to play in telling the legislature what they think about the bills and measures that are coming before them in the bill process and the budgetary process. And the number one thing that the legislature has to do is do both the budget, the general fund and the education trust fund budget. Fortunately, we planned ahead 10 years ago and put in place measures to have money available to us if we ever had a downturn in the economy. Fortunately, I do not think from the numbers that we've seen so far that we're going to even have to touch that money in this extraordinary time. So we did some conservative budgeting last year, and I believe you'll see some conservative budgeting again this year, but not any money having to be dipped into out of the emergency money that we put back in legislation that we had created back in 2011.
I mean, that's been a kind of unlike a lot of states that have had shortfalls budget-wise. It goes back to what you guys did when you came in 2010 and changing the way budgeting is done in state government is the reason why there haven't been any sort of proration or anything of that sort.
Absolutely, Jeff. So we have $1.5 billion sitting back that we could access if we needed to for education. Now, prohibition had to be declared to get that money, but we could get to it if we needed to. And when this thing hit a year ago, you saw so many states that vote Democrat, Illinois, California, both one worrying so much about would they be able to meet budgetary needs? Would they be able to meet the payroll? And I don't know if they did or not. But in Alabama, we knew that we would have to have a downturn in the economy of 4% per year for three consecutive years to run out of money that we had put back. And we're not going to have to dip into that money this year. So, to my knowledge. So I think we have done a super job and a model for the nation on how to budget within your means and fund public education and our state general fund the way that we do.
Joined by State Senator Tom Watley of Auburn here on the program. One more question before we get you out of here. Department of Justice and the lawsuit on Alabama's prisons. You sit on the Judiciary Committee. What more can the legislature do in that process? It looks like Governor Ivey has a prison plan in place. It looks likely to happen. Is there anything else the legislature can do?
Well, obviously, the legislature can always look at measures when it deals with overcrowding, how it does with penalties for imprisonment. And I'm glad we have a former colleague of mine in Cam Ward sitting on the court and paroles executive director spot, and you have already seen in the 2 weeks that Senator Ward has been executive director, you've seen him take some extraordinary measures that were just out-of-the-box thinking and super ideas that he had that he came forward to start Life Tech back up again, which will, I think, affect 600 people in the correction system to help get these nonviolent offenders, people who are at the ending of their terms, into a system to where they will be able to be employed when they get out. And Senator Ward worked very hard in the Senate to make sure that offenders, once they got out, were able to find gainful employment. Because the ones that do get out eventually, you want them to be able to be a member of society and not have to in reduced recidivism. Also, he did something else the other day that I thought was just out of the box thinking with the parole board members, I mean the people in each county, the parole guys in each county, the supervisor in each county, to make sure that they're more involved with the parolees on a daily and weekly basis. So I think that's going to go a long way to helping out with what we're doing with the federal system, and he's got a lot of knowledge with that. So I'll be leaning on him for some for some ideas and that he has on running his board and his agency in state government that he has to affect making sure that we meet federal guidelines. But on that same note, with federal stuff and elections, I just want to point out how well the Alabama system worked for our electoral process. We counted the votes, we got them in, and we sent them up right away. And we vote in machines, and we vote to have them, if they count the votes electronically, and if there's ever a question, by God, they're sitting there at the bottom of that machine, and you can count each and every one of them. I hope we never go to these boards that stand up, and you punch them, and the computer counts them, and there's no paper trail to it at all. So I'm looking forward to Alabama setting the example for the rest of the country on how to easily, quickly vote in a secure and safe manner.
Yeah, we don't even have to worry about what happened in Georgia in Alabama.
That is crazy what happened in Georgia, and they should be ashamed of themselves for the way they operated that and for where they let, you know, tremendous amounts of ballot harvesting where you're not sure who actually voted that ballot go into play. In Alabama, you can cast an absentee ballot, but somebody has to sign that you're the one that cast that ballot, and you have to have some type of ID enclosed with it to go in. So John Merrill put in place a way for you to vote absentee, but it's not where you can just go and get an absentee ballot, take it to a place, sell your ballot, which I'm sure went on, and get it cast. We have set the example for the country in the way we securely and safely work our elections.
Senator, we have to leave it there. We're out of time, but I really do appreciate you making time for our audience this morning.
Well, thank you for letting me talk. I'm looking forward to visiting with you in the future.
Yeah, we'll
thanks do for letting for acknowledging my wife and our honeymoon.
Yeah, congratulations on that. We'll do it again real soon. See Senator Tom Watley, ladies and gentlemen.